Tune now for an interview with KBOO's Paul Rowland about the ongoing occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Good night, Joanna.
Good night, Ken. Good night, Mike.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Harney County by an armed group of self-styled militiamen from out of state is now entering its fourth week. A community meeting to discuss the occupation, scheduled for today in Burns, was canceled by Harney County Judge Steve Grasty. Judge Grasty cited safety concerns as the primary reason for the cancellation. KBOO's Paul Rowland is on the ground in Burns, and I spoke with Paul to get more information on what's been going on in Harney County. Paul, you talked with Harney County Judge Steve Grasty today. He canceled a community meeting that was scheduled. What's the reason for the cancellation?
Yes, he released a statement that was at the county courthouse where we just were, and said, it is with a heavy heart that I feel the need to cancel the community event scheduled for January 25th. Preparations to protest and block entrances to the senior center have led me to determine that it's time to take a time out. Cancellation of this meeting seems prudent in order to maintain the safety of our community and everyone in it, and because an open and honest conversation cannot take place in this type of atmosphere. Further, I will not give these agitators what they want most, which is attention. One paragraph from the statement he released today.
What were the safety concerns? The meeting is supposed to be no guns allowed, right?
The concerns were there was threats to actually physically block the event, the meeting.
By protesters against the occupation?
Yeah, by the Bundy camp.
Now why would the Bundy camp want to block a community meeting?
That I couldn't tell you.
The attention the judge was talking about then would be given to the Bundy camp protesting the meeting if the meeting actually went ahead as scheduled?
I don't know what he meant. I got this on the way out. I can tell you about what I talked to the judge myself about. You know, we asked him quite a few questions about, you know, the situation. He says that the community here is extremely stressed out, that it's creating a lot of divisions, that there's, you know, family members who are not speaking to each other, that are people who have broken off friendships because of this, and they, you know, really just want it to end. He said that he thinks they've got four. He's very concerned, you know, that somebody could do something foolish. You know, he said they've got four armed groups now in Harney County: Hammond Bundy and his group, law enforcement, the so-called buffer militia, which some people call the Pacific Patriots, and they may include 3%ers and other people, oath keepers. And then the one he says that no one thinks about, which is us or them, the community itself, because, you know, everybody, this is a rural Oregon community, and everybody is pretty well armed, you know, so that, you know, somebody could do something foolish on anyone in any one of those groups and could lead to something very, you know, what people are trying to avoid, which is some kind of conflagration, some, you know, bloodshed.
Have you talked to other people in the community besides the judge?
We've talked to, sort of casually, you know, to the people at the motel, people at cafes. Yeah, the feeling is that people just really would rather prefer them gone. We haven't talked to any active supporters of the Bundy. The judge says that, by his, you know, very rough reckoning, knowing people in this community as well as he does, that, you know, it's about 80 to 20 against the occupation. He said that, you know, there was, you know, support. People were saying, yeah, you know, some people agree with what they're talking about, but now that they've made their point, they'd rather they just left. Whatever support they had in the community is steadily eroding just because of the, you know, the tension that has been created here.
Have you talked to any members of the Paiute tribe? I know they had one of their leaders today say that it was time for the occupiers to leave.
I did. I talked to the tribal chairwoman, and they're very concerned about potentially disturbing, you know, their artifacts. They're very concerned that they've been down in the, you know, the artifact room, sort of potentially disturbing the artifacts that are stored there of Paiute and potentially other Native groups. You know, they think that obviously if they had done something like this, they probably wouldn't be treated as well. You know, the judge said something similar that, you know, well, the judge expressed frustration with a federal response. He just thinks it has not been adequate. He expressed that. And I think that's the Paiutes have also expressed that concern.
Has the judge and the Paiute tribes and other members of the community been in touch with the feds?
I don't have that information. I know that they've taken over part of the courthouse in an ex-junior high school here in town, and the FBI has got their staging operation out at the airport, which I visited yesterday. It's a pretty sort of militarized scene out there. But I don't know if anybody really knows exactly what the feds are planning. It's seems to be somewhat of a mystery.
Now, given the lack of action, apparently, on the part of the federal government, is there anything the state or local government can do to get rid of the occupiers?
Well, that's a good question. They did arrest, you know, that one guy who drove those trucks that was like last week already. I don't have an indication. There doesn't seem to be... They're obviously not going to go out to the Malheur Refuge. Obviously, that's a federal thing. But no, there's. If you drive around, I've heard there's even been threats to the police here. If you drive around, you just don't even see local police, any presence from local police or sheriffs. It's kind of strange, actually. I'm not, you know, we're speculating that that's because of these threats, but. Very strange atmosphere out here.
I've read of intimidation where the occupiers have followed certain citizens home because these citizens had criticized their actions. And have you talked to anybody who was a victim of that intimidation?
I don't know anything at all about that. We, you know, really haven't. We've sort of been focused out there at the refuge itself. And now we've got this conversation with a judge, and we're going to talk to a rancher that we said would be willing to talk to us. Yeah, but another thing that's important before we end is, you know, we were out there at this big thing they had out at the refuge yesterday, on Saturday, a big media show where they were going to cancel BLM contracts, and they had this guy from New Mexico, Adrian Sewell, who very dramatically has signed this notarized document saying he was canceling all his BLM contracts. He was the only one. But from what my colleague, Arun Gupta, with the Raw Story, has been writing about this, he saw online, he looked at the document, and it seemed illegal to him because there's, like, the date was blank and the county was blank. And it seems to be there's a lot of spectacle going on. There's a lot of big show, but it's unclear, you know, really what they really have to show for it, what they really have to back up. There's only one person who you know, canceled their contract. Supposedly there's another. But, you know, since the local support is eroding, it seems like the county just doesn't really want them here. It seems like they're sort of taking other steps, like they sort of kind of expand their operation. They made this, people probably saw the sign that they replaced the Malheur Wildlife Refuge station sign with Harney County resources or something. They made a bigger one, like a 6x10 foot sign that they say they're going to place 9 miles away, probably on one of the access roads to Malheur Refuge, which is, you know, kind of like a declaration of war. You know, they really is almost like a war that they've declared on the federal government. You know, which is kind of ironic, seeing as how the federal government is you know, intervening in countries all over the globe, but they've had a war declared on them here for 3 weeks and really have done nothing. And now they've got these so-called citizens grand jury that are supposedly going to convene and, you know, make secret indictments of, public officials or whatever, which is another thing they're doing. And they've also fortified. We were there when we saw they were operating this forklift. They were bringing these big, huge, like foot and a half by foot and a half thick railroad ties, big stacks of them, like three by two stacks of them with like cement embankments on top. They brought up to the top entrance. So, you know, they're kind of playing, but they're playing war. They're playing a very strange and dangerous game.
Paul, just one last question. A lot of the occupiers have committed a lot of illegal acts. I would say most of them on the level of a felony, and yet there doesn't seem to be any action. A lot of the comments I've been reading on websites in the Oregonian are, why are the lights still on? Why is the electricity still going? Why is there water?
I have an answer to that. I heard a very simple answer, which is that apparently in order to cut off the electricity, they'd have to cut off electricity to some of the ranches surrounding there. Someone would actually have to go out to the site to cut it off specifically there, and I don't think there's anyone from the electric company who's probably paid enough to do that.
That would be dangerous. The other related issue is, why are these people allowed to come and go as they please, go into town, get supplies, go to meetings, intimidate people, and then go back to the refuge?
Again, that's beyond my my knowledge. I don't think we didn't specifically ask the judge about that. You know, it's part of this hands-off, this game that they're playing where they don't want to, you know, set off an incident. You know, in the realm of speculation, the take of some of us have been developing, which is that basically they're waiting for the Bundy group to do something stupid so they can use that as an excuse. Apparently, they don't want to spark. They don't want to give them an excuse to, you know, to like say that the feds are infringing on their rights, all that.
I'm just going to say that if they're waiting for the Bundy group to do something stupid, they must have a very high bar for what they consider stupidity.
Hey, I'm agreeing with you there, but yeah, I don't know. It's a strange situation. We'll see what happens, and I'll be bringing some interesting tape from the field to put on the airwaves here pretty soon.
Oh, well, Paul, thanks so much for being out there. All I can say is stay safe.
Let me just say just one more note. I mean, we didn't really feel threatened. You know, we were there, and there's, you know, people carrying semi-automatic weapons, Uzis, handguns, holster on their hips. You know, they're pretty heavily armed, but, you know, I mean, frankly, it seems like they really just want someone to listen, a lot of them. You know, I'm not talking about the Bundys and the kind of inner core. But we were just roaming around, and people were freely talking to us, and, you know, we're very polite, and they seem just, like, kind of desperate to be heard and seen. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We've been talking with Paul Rowland, our KBOO reporter on the ground out there in Burns, Oregon. This is Ken Jones with KBOO News.
Want to connect KBOO on your smartphone? Now you can with the free KBOO mobile app available for both iPhones and Android devices. With the app, you can listen to KBOO live wherever you are, continuously streaming whether your phone is locked or not. Listen to our latest audio uploads. See when your favorite programs come on with our schedule. Check out our community events calendar. Read our monthly newsletters. Everything is available in one place, including posts from our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube feeds. You don't need an account to see what's going on at KBOO. Have KBOO at your fingertips anywhere you happen to be with our new mobile app. Look up KBOO in iTunes or Google Play to download the free KBOO mobile app.
Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 33rd Real Music Film Festival running through February 8th. Thursday, January 28th, will screen Landfill Harmonic. Landfill Harmonic follows the Recycled Orchestra of Keytora, a Paraguayan musical group that plays instruments made entirely out of garbage. When their story goes viral, the orchestra is suddenly catapulted into the global spotlight. This 2014 film has been described as a testament to the transformative power of music and the resilience of the human spirit. That's January 28th at 7 p.m. at the Northwest Film Center in the Witzel Auditorium at 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the films and more can be found at KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Eco Film Festival series at the Hollywood Theater. The film this month is Sunu, screening Thursday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. in its U.S. premiere. Seen through the eyes of small, mid-size, and large Mexican maize producers, Sunu knits together different stories from a threatened rural world. Sunu reveals how maize and everything it gives life to could be lost forever, and how we all could lose the capability to make important choices unless we act soon. Edna Vasquez will perform before the film. Again, that's the U.S. premiere of Sunu as part of the Portland Eco Film Festival on Thursday, February 11th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Welcome to Labor Radio, the program of, by, and for working people. Your hosts tonight are Jamie Partridge and myself, John Walsh. We're going to go outside of the city today. We're going to go to rural Oregon and talk about what's going on, making national news, but going on for a long time before that, with militias and the stuff you've been reading about from Harney County and the Malheur Wildlife Refuge.